is from Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 32. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David."
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And if you do have a Bible, I would encourage you to be turning over to the book of Luke. Maybe mark your Bible over there in chapter 1. We're going to be back there this morning. Well, I do wonder, have any of you heard what we're seeing on the overhead to the right and left here yet? Somebody say, "I can't believe it's Christmas time." And we hear that about every year. I mean, when we think about this, we know that they're not saying, "I can't believe that Christmas time is going to come every year." They know that. It just seems that 11 months have passed so quickly and so rapidly that we just put our decorations away yesterday. So it just seems like it's here so soon. And to those of us with a few Christmases in our rearview mirror, that it is like this about every year, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is, one of our favorite movies this time of year, and if you either love this movie or you hate it, there's no choice, because you're going to see it all day Christmas Day, and it's one of my favorite movies, because I still want to shoot my eye out. But every year, it, according to this movie at least, Christmas is the biggest day for kids. That's their biggest kid day year of the year. And so to them, it's been a long time since it's been here. But to you and I, it just seems like, well, it seems like yesterday. You know, there are a lot of people talking this time of year about believing different things. So here in Nashville, we have this mural. My wife and I have been arguing about the pronunciation of that. This mural. Downtown Nashville, on the left side, thousands of people who visit Nashville each year want their picture in front of this. "I believe in Nashville." In fact, this is the granddaddy. It started all the other ones in the country that's come around. And if you are like Bill and I and Eric, we believe in the Preds too, don't we? I mean, after all, the Preds are a great team. So we believe in things, don't we? The problem is, this time of year, there are many people who talk about the Christmas story, and we talked a little bit about that last week. Well, I'm going to say some more about it this morning. True and false. But people don't believe. I mean, after all, who would believe that a virgin could bring forth a baby? Who would believe, if you think about it, that Jonah could be in the belly of a fish? Who would believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? People don't believe that. But you and I this morning, we believe. I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world as Emmanuel, and he was God with us while he was here. Well, as we think about this, there are two perspectives. And so we're recording this morning, right? If you're listening, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that I believe that December 25th is the birth date of Christ. I don't. I believe it's impossible for it to be this day of the year. I'm not saying that I believe that that even the wise men were at the birth of Christ. I do not. I believe the shepherds were there. I believe they were told where to go, and they were there. And ladies and gentlemen, but the other side of the coin is true as well. We don't need to steer away from talking about Jesus any day of the year. Because of the fact of the matter is, it's just because someone might be concerned that, well, we're going to put a nativity scene out front of the building, doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak about the Lord and his birth. So, let's do that. Rick read for us this morning something that I strongly believe. And that was that Jesus was born. Here in our text that he's already read in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, verse number 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to by God to a city. Now notice the specifics. To a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. Lord, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel, as you'll read further here, there's some other things that are very, very important. But ladies and gentlemen, as we think about this, it's not normal, number one, for an angel to show up and talk to you. And number two, it doesn't seem normal for an angel to tell you that a virgin is going to bear a child. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity, though it is rare, though it is superfluous, is a religion of miracles. From the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, miracle. Beginning of the New Testament, Jesus was going to be born of a virgin, miracle. It is a miracle. But what is a miracle? Notice the overhead here, the PowerPoint to each side of me. It is an act of God contrary to the known laws. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe Jesus was born 1900 years ago in Bethlehem. And one of the things that we look for when we're talking about textual criticism, that is trying to prove a document is legitimately historical, you look for names. You look for cities. You look for regions. In this text, we got it all, don't we? Mary, Bethlehem, city in Galilee, Joseph of the lineage of David. Jesus Christ was also fulfillment of prophecy. But in this text, we clearly see that Christianity, as it begins here with Jesus, there's a miracle. Well, let's think about some things together. Because as Christians, there are different miracles that we know that we need to believe, right? That we should believe. In your Old Testament, go back to Genesis 1. Excuse me. As you're going there, I want to read Hebrews 11 to you before we go any further. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," that is God, "for he who comes to God must believe that he is," that's verse number one. Now notice secondly, "and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." He's God, and number two, he rewards us for diligently seeking him. Well, in the beginning here, in the book of Genesis, we read about the beginning of all creation. And we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A friend of mine here in the Madison area, who was a preacher, had a problem with his computer. You guys may know or may not know, I like to use this computer. You've seen me use it up here before. But you know what? When he took his Mac over to the same place my wife bought this computer, you know what the first thing they asked him was? Who was the manufacturer, Jeff? They assumed, Jeff, that this computer that he had a manufacturer. It had a creator.
They didn't ask him, oh, do you have one of those computers that evolved over millions or billions of years? They didn't ask him that, did they? They assumed that something so intelligent, so involved, had somebody who created it. Think about the human brain. The human brain is beyond the capacity of a computer. Faster, more ingenious. It is created by God. And we understand as we look at that, that when somebody says, oh, has your human brain been evolving over from nothing to something over millions of years? But that just doesn't make sense. Because if we understand it with the computer, there must have been a manufacturer. Who's our manufacturer? God. There must have been a manufacturer. So this morning, as we are here together, we understand and we believe that there was a manufacturer. We believe, ladies and gentlemen, in the creation miracle. In your Bibles, in Psalms 14, and verse number 1, there it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Did you get that? The fool said that. Well, we understand, ladies and gentlemen, and we believe that we are here not because a series of coincidences, but that God created us. That's a wonderful miracle. But then at this time of year, we talk about the miracle of the incarnation, Christ coming into the world. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn to the book of Matthew, I certainly would encourage you to go to chapter 1. Here in this text, it says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We understand that though it seems improbable that there could be an incarnation, that a virgin could have a baby, it happened. In the book of John, in the 20th chapter, verse number 28, Thomas calls Jesus this. He says, my Lord and my God. But something else that is said there, and I want you to write this down. If you take notes, if you underline in your Bible or highlight, this is the place to do it. Because the next statement that Jesus says is for you and for me. That's who it's for. Because what does he say? In the text it says, blessed are those, this is what Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Ladies and gentlemen, that's for us. We are blessed because we believe in Christ. We believe in what the Bible teaches, the incarnation. C.S. Lewis wrote years ago a book simply entitled Miracles. And one of the things he said in that book was that the central miracle asserted by Christianity was the incarnation. And then he said, Christians say that God became man. Every other miracle either prepares the way for this miracle or results from this miracle. Let's look at that for a second. Prepares the way for this miracle. We couldn't have the incarnation unless we had the creation. We couldn't have the incarnation unless we have other miracles along the way. Now, are they rare? Yes. But now we understand Christ did come. But after that, when the apostles are going out into all the world and teaching those of us, teaching the people who are Christians after they obey the gospel, all things, they would have taught about the incarnation, and they would have taught, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I understand that we see them performing miracles, and the reason for that was to establish the word they were preaching was true about Christ. So we understand that. But then there is the miracle of the resurrection. In your Bibles, go up to Romans 10. Verse number 9. I cannot tell you how many sermon outlines, if you would talk to my wife, she's probably heard me talk about this passage more than once. I cannot tell you how many sermon outlines I have with this passage in it. And you know what I talk about? That confession alone doesn't equal salvation, but it's a part of the plan. But the text is specific, isn't it? Notice with me for a second. In this text, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, what? What does God want us to believe? That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we understand that if we're going to be saved, a part of that is we have to believe that Christ was raised from the dead. In your Bibles, in Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty powers, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places." So we believe in the miracle of creation, incarnation, and resurrection. But there are a lot of people who don't. And what we sometimes find is this. It's normal. It's normal to not believe in miracles. Who was the very first person who didn't believe in the incarnation? Mary. Mary. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of funny. She didn't say, "Wow, thank you so much. You want me to be the mother of God?" She didn't say that. She asked the question clearly and conclusively, how can this be? I mean, she understood biology. Some say that Mary was, well, she was 13. I don't know how old she was. But she knew how babies came into the world. And yet, she didn't believe in it first. How can this be? I've never been with a man. Well, when we look further in our Bibles, and we're going to come back to this text, we understand that through faith, she is going to develop and just accept it and make some wonderful statements. But have you ever thought about people in the Bible, great Bible characters who did not believe? How about Matthew 11? Do you guys remember the guy, John the Baptizer, John the Baptist? In chapter 1 of the book of John, he talks about Christ increasing and him decreasing. When Christ came to him, he talked about him being the Lamb of God. John baptized him, and he realized who he was. He said he wasn't even worthy to loose his sandals. Now, later on in his life, John is placed in prison. He has said some things in regard to Herodias about her husband Philip and that the man she was with now wasn't her husband. In prison he goes. And so here in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ," did he not know about Christ before? Yeah, he did. Where is he? He's in prison. You ever been discouraged? You ever been a prison of your own making? Yeah. The facts are clear, isn't it? It's easy. When I look into a casket, I had a family member die last week. I don't know if I'll get to go to the funeral this week. And looking down at this beautiful woman, somebody comes up and they put their arm around me and they say, "Phil, she's in a better place." Might be hard to believe that sometimes, but we know it's true. And you and I, when we think about all of that people go through this time of year, oh, it's just been so short since it's been Christmas again because they don't have money to buy kids presents, or they don't have money to buy food to put on the table. And so we try to help as much as we can. But ladies and gentlemen, John had that moment here, and the text goes on to say, "He sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" This is John the Baptist. How about Doubting Thomas? How about Doubting Thomas that we mentioned earlier? He lived with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He heard Jesus. He participated with Jesus. And he doubted. It's just a natural process that we do those things from time to time. God is not afraid of your doubts or mine. What we do need to do is realize Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we study to show ourselves approved, and we are people who know that this book right here has all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Galileo, one of the most intelligent people that we can think of in history, once said that doubt is the father of discovery. Think about the fact, if you have to go to God's word and study about some doubt, and you come out on the other side stronger, can you help somebody else? Yes, you can. You're stronger to help them. Let's look at things as they are. They're blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, in this text, we know in Luke 1, for with God nothing is impossible, even the incarnation, even the creation, and even our resurrection. This is a well-known picture to many. Some of you may have seen this before. Here we have Jesus in a garden, and in the garden, he is standing at a door. Now, the painter who painted this picture wanted to introduce this to his family first. I think I might have done the same thing. Maybe you would have. You wanted to get their opinion. So he pulls back the sheet so everybody can see the painting. And all of a sudden, there's dead silence. They sat and looked at the picture for a long time. Finally, a friend, not a family member, a friend stood up and said, "I think you left something out." "What'd I leave out?" He said, "I think you left out a door handle." "No, I didn't." Because this is about Revelation 3 and verse 20. You want to turn there? He said, this is about Revelation 3 and verse 20. Because at the door of our heart, the Lord is standing. He's not going to come in unless you invite him in. He's not going to come in unless you want him to come in. That is your decision. It's my decision. When we think about all that we think about this time of year, there are wonderful miracles, there's wonderful family time, and we know that a Savior was born at some time who came to save us from our sins. I ask you this morning, where are you? Can you say, "I believe"? I think the people in this room can. But the question has always got to be asked, do you believe? Do you believe as Jesus is standing at your heart today, the door of your heart, will you open to him? Will you be obedient to the gospel of Christ? Will you be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins? Or will you come home and let us pray with you and for you? Maybe there's some spiritual need. Or maybe you just need encouragement. Brethren, this is a loving church. If we can encourage you any way spiritually this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the invitation song?